Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who's the Word? Jesus is the right answer. Say it.
Jesus.
All things were made through Him. And without Him, the things that have been made were not accomplished without Him. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not, does not, will not overcome it. Woo-hoo! It's good news, dude. Not that you weren't excited. I wasn't picking on you, Pastor Isaac. The darkness has not, does not, will not overcome it. He is the light. And we're called to walk in the light as He is the light. Turn to a couple people around you and say, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear the darkness. Let the light of Christ shine. Father in heaven, open our ears. Holy Spirit, we need your help. Jesus, we love you. Thanks for loving us first. Change our minds. May you find in us a faith that would open up to change our minds, to change our will, to change our patterns. To come to agree with you because you are the truth. And you are full of grace and truth. And Jesus, your name is above every name, and it's the only name by which we can be saved. And we declare today, we declare your children, your people, your family, the redeemed. We declare above all other declarations about what this day is. We declare that this is Resurrection Day. So let that truth ring from your people and from every pulpit. Every pulpit. The truth of Jesus Christ on a cross, shedding His blood for the forgiveness of sin, and that man can be redeemed by the blood of Christ through faith, not by works. And that Jesus rose from the dead. The truth of Him descending into hell and taking hold of the keys and ascending, resurrecting and ascending. That Jesus is alive. He conquered sin and death and hell and has made a way for us, as He said. So help us walk with the conviction and understanding of what that truth is. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated if you'd like. And with a smile. Worship team, thank you so much. I'm going to have you do a song at the end. I think it's the last song you have on the list is like extra songs. We're going to do that last one. Yeah, because if they aren't happy now, they're going to be. He always was. He was slain from the foundations of the world. He was there. Jesus was part of creation. And to think that God so loved broken, fallen humanity. You and me, us, that he would send his only begotten son and that he would take on human likeness. He would be born of a virgin. And he had people prophesy it before it happened. Amen. You can read about it in the Old Testament. And then she conceives of the Holy Spirit, gives birth to a son, Emmanuel, God with us, God for us, God among us. And he's born. He grows. And he grows, it says, it grows in favor with man, with God. Then he teaches of the kingdom like nobody else ever taught, with such authority. He told stories that people could remember because not all of them could read, but they could remember a story, right? Remember a story that talked about who God is, his kingdom, that Jesus displayed the goodness of his Father, and how he taught, and how he spoke to people, how he treated people, how he healed people, how he took time for people, even those of other races, took time for children. He rebuked the adults for trying to stop the children to come to him. He wasn't too busy. He came for people. And then he laid down his life to pay for it, to redeem us, to redeem us, to redeem you. I could look at my past and you could probably do the same, not at my past, your own. I just feel like, am I really worth it? Am I really worth redeeming? But that's what perfect love does. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it, not in just as a quip or some phrase or the thing to say. I want you to hear it. God loves you. Amen. Loves you. He knows your past and he loves you. He knows the poor decisions that we've made. He loves you. You're worth it to him. Trading places with us. Because we're the guilty ones. We should have hung on the cross. He wasn't guilty. He didn't sin. And he said, I'll go do it. I'll foot the bill. I'll pay for it. That is why his blood has the power to forgive sins. Because it takes blood to forgive sins, the Bible says. And his blood is sinless. Ours, we have guilty blood. But through faith in him, we take that grace that he displayed and we apply it to our life. And it wipes away our past. And then he took care of business. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. You can't hold him down, and you will not stop the gospel. Darkness will not overcome the light, and he will redeem his people, and we will be transported to a heavenly home if we believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the power of his Spirit? Do you believe in the resurrected Jesus Christ? You know, before he was crucified, and he raised the dead before, but this whole thing in John 11, is there's so much there, and it's so astounding. He has a friend, Lazarus, and Mary and Martha, the sisters, and Jesus, they send him a message that Lazarus is really ill. And Jesus gets the message. And it says that he loved Lazarus. And then he stayed where he was at for 2 more days. I just love that little part right there. He loved Lazarus, but he stayed where he was at for 2 more days. If I get a message that my wife is sick and they just took her to the hospital, I love you, Sue, but I'm coming right away. She'd be mad enough if I get waited 2 days. She'd be mad to slap me. It says Jesus loved him, waited where he was 2 more days. When he arrives, he gets told by a couple of people, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. So Jesus is away, he waits 2 more days, and he tells his disciples, fellas, Lazarus is asleep, and they think, well, look, you know, he's sleeping. And Jesus says, I'm going to go awaken him. And Jesus says, no, Lazarus has died now. So I'm going back. And his disciples oppose him initially because he has to go back to Judea. And Judea is where he came from a few days ago, because when they heard him teaching and doing miracles and all of these things, they ran him out of town. They were going to stone him to death. They were persecuting Jesus. And by his authority, he walked through the crowd. He left. And now he tells the disciples, we're gonna go back over there. And they're like, Jesus, they want to kill you there. You understand that? They want to kill you there. But one disciple spoke up. You know him as the doubter. He spoke up. Thomas! He spoke up. He looked at the disciples. He said, hey, listen, guys. Let's go with him. Let's all go die with Jesus. He just has this conversation with guys. Come on. Let's go with Jesus. Let's just go back to Judea, and we'll die with him. Yeah, then we fast forward a bit, don't we? We'll get there. Hold on. So he goes, and Martha hears that Jesus is coming, so she goes out to meet him. And she goes back and tells Mary the master's looking for you. She drops what she's doing, she runs out and meets Jesus. The people there, the mourners there, they're thinking that she's going out to Lazarus's tomb. And they both approach him and both say the same thing. You know, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. What great statements of faith. Jesus, if you'd have been here, this would not have happened. But they make another declaration of faith. They say, but even now, whatever you ask the Father in heaven, we know that he will grant it and he will give it to you. And Jesus, he says to her, your brother will rise again. Now listen to this. Your brother will rise again. And Martha says, I know. In the last day at the resurrection of the dead. I want to pause here. She says this in a matter of fact way. I want you to know that when this body decays, there is another life. You're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit, listen, your spirit is eternal. Now, where you're going to spend it is our decision, your decision, but Jesus made a way for us to be redeemed, to be saved, and to live, not to have spiritual death for all eternity. He's made a way for you because he loves you. And he came a long way and went through a lot for that to happen. And there were a lot of people who wanted to see it and live during that day, but their lifetime was over before they saw him. But some were there. And we get to look, we're on the other side of the resurrection. Jesus is alive. And we are saved by God's grace through faith, through believing. So he says to her, after she says that resurrection on the last day, Jesus says to her, no, I'm the resurrection and the life. I am. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The person who believes in me, in this life, your life, they will not pass away. And those who pass away in this life never really die. It's kind of like double talk, right? Doesn't that sound like, it almost sounds like a little bit like an Abbott and Costello routine. Those who believe in the Father and they don't die, and then when they do die, then they don't really die because, you know. And Jesus is telling her this. And he told her, he's going to rise again. And he wasn't talking about on Resurrection Day. He was talking about that day. Now, like, who can do that? Larry. A spoiler. Like, who can do that? Larry, go ahead. Who could do that? Nobody could do that. Jesus says, yeah, he's going to rise again. No, today. And he says this to her. He says, do you believe this about me? Do you believe this about Jesus? Do you believe that he raised Lazarus from the dead? Do you believe this? Do you believe that he is the resurrection and he is the life? Do you believe this? I mean, really believe this. Do the decisions you make every day that you live, do they come from the foundation that I believe Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and I know that Jesus resurrected from the dead? Do you base your life decisions every day on the fact that Jesus rose again? Because that's going to change our daily life. It's going to change the whim when we feel our flesh cry out. Or make excuses to do something that's improper according to God's word in our life because, well, I just feel hurt or I feel neglected or I feel this or I feel that. And I'm not telling you that your feelings aren't real. I'm not telling you that life isn't hard. But will we come back to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? And will we allow the foundation of that very truth to change who we are and how we live and how we make decisions every day? Do you believe this about him? That's the question. It's the question I have to answer. Do you believe this about him? What about when we pray? If you are praying to a resurrected Christ, he had the power to be raised from the dead. He was crucified. He was dead. He was buried. And 3 days later, he resurrected and he was seen by people. He wasn't seen by everybody, but he was seen by a lot of people. Will you and I live our life every day from the foundation that Jesus Christ is resurrected? Will you face your problems, your disappointments, your heartache with people from the foundation, from the view that Jesus Christ has been resurrected? Because that truth is to empower us to be changed and transformed. When we pray, do we just kind of pray with a little bit of hope, and I hope you hear me, and I'm just throwing it out there, and if it's with somebody else or in front of other people, I hope it sounds good, like it sounds like there's faith in it, and they all go, wow, oh, that lady really knows how to pray, and that guy knows how to pray. Or do we pray from the foundation that Jesus Christ is resurrected and he can hear us? And if he has the power to raise from the dead, certainly he has the power to do that which we ask and more than we can imagine. And he's faithful to walk with us through the dark hours. He knows how to bring us out. Listen, if he can descend into hell, take the keys, conquer sin and death and hell, I think he knows how to walk you through a dark hour. Turn to a couple and say, he knows how to walk you through a dark hour. So here we are. He raises Lazarus. You can read the rest of the story on your own. Well, I just got to pause. I mean, just because I'm only left to what I can read, and our minds all work differently, but can you just imagine being there? He's walking to the tomb, move the stone. Oh, Jesus, don't go in there. Don't visit. He stinks by now. It's been 4 days. That's what he's told. Roll the stone. The mourners are there, the professional mourners. Oh, because they had professional mourners, part of the culture. They had mourners. Oh, they wail. And anyhow, this is going on. And then he's going to call Lazarus out. Then they start jeering and laughing at Jesus, like when he says he's only sleeping kind of thing. Can you imagine laughing at the Son of God by what he's about to do? He shouts out, "Lazarus, come out," in a loud voice. It's just coming out of the tomb. I picture him, he's... Because he's all bound up in grave clothes, There's the Abbott and Costello movie again. Sorry about that. Just how my mind works, right? Unwrap him. It's Lazarus. He should stink by now. Calls him out. He was dead. Now he's alive. People saw it. They went from laughing at him to going, "Oh, Son of God, we believe you." And then there are those who went and reported to the religious folks, and then they schemed to kill Jesus for doing good things. Remember Thomas? Okay, we're going to die with you, Jesus, because we love you. John chapter 20, Jesus crucified. He's resurrected. He's shown himself to the disciples at a meeting that they were having. They were just gathered together in a place. He shows up in the room. Thomas wasn't there at that particular gathering. So the disciples all tell Thomas, "You missed it, man. Jesus showed up in the room. We were in the house. The door was locked. We were there. And Jesus shows up." Yeah. Right. You wonder how Thomas might feel that way, but I'm acquainted with my humanity. and how we can swing at one moment, how we can come into church and be holy and be touched by God and be ministered to and walk out with encouragement, and an hour later stumble and fall and choose to sin. I'm acquainted with humanity because I is one, and so are you. So I can't throw a stone here at Thomas. So they go on. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with when Jesus came to see the disciples. And so they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will never believe it." 8 days later. Now I know you think, "Oh, God heard that. Jesus should have just come running." 8 days later. Well, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and this time Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, this is beautiful. You think God doesn't hear what you say? You think he doesn't know what you're thinking? You think God doesn't know all things? You don't think he's, you know, all-knowing? Oh, yeah. You think you're in some private little meeting, locked doors, by yourself, in your vehicle, in your house, no one there? He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in your life. So 8 days later, he says, "Peace be with you." Then he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Put your finger here in my hand," wherever he was nailed. Thomas, come here. Put your finger here. Thomas, put your hand out. Put your hand out and put it right here in my side where he was pierced. Thomas, put your hand there. And then Jesus tells him, "Don't disbelieve, but believe." Don't disbelieve. Don't disbelieve. Believe. Don't disbelieve. Believe. Don't disbelieve. You from New Jersey. My Italian brother. Don't disbelieve. Believe. You disbelieve, and every little feeling and every little thing comes along, and you will be fair game, and the enemy will take your lunch money every time. But when you work from the foundation that Jesus Christ is resurrected, now, the Spirit gives you power to overcome the moments of frailty and weakness and doubt and disbelief. Jesus looks at Thomas. He says, "Listen, stop your disbelief. Believe." And Thomas answers him, "My Lord and my God." What a great confession. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" Ooh. It's a good question. Do you disbelieve because you haven't seen him? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they have believed. You want to be blessed? You should be standing up right now waving a hanky. I'm just telling you. You white people. Rural white America. It's all right. Now he is one of those two. Listen. Those who believe and have not seen him, they are blessed. They're blessed. It's just like those who read the words of this book, referring to Revelation, the coming king. He's already King of Kings. But he's coming. He's coming again. And those who read the words of that book, the book of Revelation, it says right there, those who read the words of this prophecy, this book, they are blessed. Those who believe that Jesus Christ is resurrected and have not seen him, they are blessed. Are you the blessed? The blessed of the Lord should say so. John says this in this letter, what we call the end of this chapter. He writes this, and he says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this particular book." Too many things he did to record it all. Heaven knows. Now, Jesus did many signs in the presence of disciples, more than that are written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe. Not that John says, "Oh, come on, believe me." No, no. He writes them so that you may believe, now watch this, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who was to come. The one that John the Baptist talked about. I write these things so that you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. There is no other name by which man can be saved. There are not many ways to God. I know we live in a world of tolerance and we got to respect everybody's opinion and idea, whether it's one person or it's a group of people or whatever it is. I'm just telling you that there is one way to God. It is through Jesus Christ alone. He is the Son of God and made a way for you. In your weakness and wondering and double-mindedness and floundering and all of these things that we do. Come to your senses. Jesus Christ, he is the Savior, and there is no other. He died once for all. Boy, you're sounding good out there today. It was time to say, "Well, you're sounding pretty good up there today." Come on, give a little encouragement, right? I'm having a little bit of fun. That's all right. He writes this book for a purpose. Now listen, here's the deal. His resurrection, it's not just about, wow, he's Jesus. He is the Son of God. It is about that, but not that alone. It's what that means for you, for us who believe. What it means for all of humanity who have the opportunity to come into faith. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, who is a great testimony of Jesus' resurrection, by the way. I'll touch on that in a moment. And it will be brief because you've heard me preach on that before. Those of you who haven't, well, you'll hear a little today. Paul writes to the church in Rome. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And the fact, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, listen to that. That's the powerful word of this verse. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, here it is. If, say it, if. Say it like you mean it. If. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken your mortal body. I changed translations in the middle of reading that, by the way. So if you're following along in the ESV, I just quickly went over to the King James because it means the same, but sometimes, you know, the King's English works and other times, yeah. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If His Spirit dwells in you. That's the question for you to answer today. Does His Spirit dwell in you? I don't know. If you say, I don't know, then He may not. But you can solve it for sure. Because at the point that you put faith in Jesus Christ, He comes and His Spirit lives in you. His Spirit lives in you. Yeah, it's called born again. Born again of the Spirit. John chapter 3. Be born again of the Spirit. Your body looks the same, and you probably call by the same name instead, unless somebody like Jesus changed it for you, or, you know, like Saul to Paul, or, you know, Peter to Rock. Just thought of that. Man, the anointing is happening here. If you don't understand, his name is Rock. Rockwell. So I didn't change it. That's his name. If that same Spirit that raised God, Jesus Christ, from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken your mortal body. You see, the Spirit, that quickening, now quickening, it means like reviving, refreshing, life flows. So when it comes time, if Jesus should not return and we're still alive, okay, He's going to return, but if He doesn't return while we are still alive, while you are still alive, the Spirit of God lives in you if you believe in Jesus Christ, and He will quicken that dead body, and you will resurrect. Probably not like Lazarus, and you're walking around and freaking people out. You'll be dead in this body because it'll decay because sin and flesh. But you will resurrect because you've been born again of the Spirit. And the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. John writes this in chapter 6, verse 63. The Spirit gives life. So when the Spirit lives in you, it's not just waiting around for the day for when you die to all of a sudden go, oh, it's time. Let's quicken them. The moment you put faith in Jesus and the Spirit of life comes into you, you are quickened. This isn't just about the resurrection. It's about being resurrected and looking like Jesus in this life, that the old person dies, and behold, now Jesus Christ lives in you. Your flesh you crucify, it is Christ that lives in us. That means that we don't act the same. We transform. We no longer conform to our own old patterns, our old tendencies, our generational curses. Broken! Broken! By the blood of the Lamb, by you putting faith in Him, by the resurrected Jesus. Whatever report's been given to you, doom and gloom, and you've just said, oh, yeah, that's where I come from. Oh, yeah, that's what I do. Oh, yeah, that's what I feel. And that's what's going to happen to me? Oh, okay. A prophecy of death. And trust me, those things will shape you. They'll determine your future if you let it. But when you put faith in Christ and you're born again and the spirit of the resurrection power of Jesus lives in you, those are canceled. If you put faith, those are canceled. I'm just like this. I'll always be this way. Listen, you 90-year-old person, we're sick of the old dog. Get a new life in Jesus before it's too late. No disrespect to you being 90. I'm this way now, I'll just always be. Yeah, who said it's a lie? It's a lie. Thank you, John Pesce, my other Italian brother. Forget about it. Okay. Church is fun, brother. Give me some. Listen. He's resurrected. That spirit lives in you. And now we start to change and we're transformed. And you don't do it on your own. Listen, this life in Christ, I appreciate the whole, I'm going to try real hard because we need to cooperate with Him. But here's the deal. He doesn't need your ability. Because most of it is inability. He doesn't need your ability. He's the one that has all the ability. He needs our availability. I am going to make myself available not to think like the old way, but to think like the new way. He doesn't need your ability. He's the one that has it. It's why Jesus says, you know, it's in John chapter 15. He's talking about the vine and the branches. He says, you better stay in me, abide in me, because if you don't, apart from me, you will do nothing. You can do nothing. If you don't abide in me, you are a branch. You fall off. You're gathered up and you are put into the fire. It's just for burning. Because you will produce nothing. You will do nothing. It's the quickening of the Spirit of God in our life, why we still have breath in this life as we know it, before we pass or He comes back, where we'll be quickened, right? We're quickened now at the point of salvation. The Spirit comes in. And it begins to change our life. We are quickened. It's His power. It's His ability that should start to operate in us. We pick up our cross, right? Crucify us. Less of me, more of Him. We can do this. Listen, the reason we can do this is because He's alive. It's not following a dead philosophy or a dead God or, oh, they said some really great things, so I'm going to live by this theory. Oh, and it sounds really good. Some of it even sounds like Scripture. Clear up your thinking. Come to your senses. Jesus Christ has been resurrected, and if His Spirit dwells in you, it will quicken you in this life and in the life to come. The Apostle Paul, when it comes to credentials, he had it all. He was trained by the best. Gamaliel, he was trained, he was schooled, he achieved things. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was as righteous as you could possibly get from their stance on your own effort. And then he meets the resurrected Jesus because Jesus appears to him. Why? Because he's alive and he can. And Paul meets the resurrected Jesus. And Paul, he leaves the life where he had it all in the eyes of humanity and achievement. And he follows after Christ. He totally transformed. He went from what he was to from killing Christians, persecuting the church, to now being the persecuted because he became part of the church. Philosophers who struggle with the resurrection of Jesus. There's philosophers, great debaters, great arguers out there. I mean, they're professionals. This is what they do. This isn't just you and your buddies having coffee. We think we're so smarter on that coffee table in that restaurant. These men and women are pros. And even for them who don't believe in Jesus and they refute the resurrection, the part they struggle with, admittedly, is Paul. They can read about Jesus and the crucifixion and the text and the historical account, and they can refute it and if they want and deny it or come up with stuff, whatever it is. But when they look at the life of Paul, that's where they pause. They go, why would this guy who is like us forsake all of this and follow Jesus? You see, the most powerful thing that people can see is Jesus in you. You see, a transformed life, somebody who believes in Jesus and that Spirit lives in them and changes them, and they live more and more according to the Word of God. People watch you. Many of you, because this is a smaller community, rural America, you know, a lot of people know you. They remember you. Back in high school, back when we worked together, back when we were young, back when we were. And they know you. You know what will wake them up to the reality of Jesus Christ being resurrected is Him living in you and them remembering who you were and then meet you now. And go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We used to, all right, I don't know you, but I remember seeing you at some places and you didn't look like Jesus. And they watch you now. They get to experience Jesus in you. They say it's you. They don't know that it's Jesus. But He's coming out. It's the proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that He's alive because His Spirit lives in you. And your Spirit lives in you. And they get to watch you love each other and love others. And your language changes. The worst four-letter word you say now is snow. You don't do what you used to do. There's a challenge in your life, and they're watching you go through it, and you're tired and you're exhausted, but you still speak hope. You still show faithfulness. You show faith. You take time for others even when you are in need. Who does that? Jesus. Jesus. Over and over and over and over again. He's hanging on the cross. And he's thinking about his mother. Hey, you, take care of her. Why he's on the cross? He's thinking about people. Paul, he was so transformed. It confounds philosophers still today because they say, if I were to believe, it's because of Paul. A transformed life. Because people just can't, there's not enough good in us to do it all on our own. You can say you did it and you all of that. Listen, we can do no good thing apart from him. And he does good things in us. Why? Because he is alive. And he will quicken you in this life. And he will quicken you when your moment comes because his spirit lives in you. He is the spirit of life. Death will not conquer the spirit of life. So the question is, if God's spirit dwells in me, then my body, my life will be quickened. Hear this. Hear this. You do not have to keep living the same miserable life. Are all your problems going to go away? No, man, this ain't heaven yet. But the spirit of life is in you and gets to use you for a powerful testimony that his light would shine in the darkness of your situation, that others would see the light coming from this. How can you have hope? Look what you face. I wish I had hope. I got my own problems, multiple problems. I'm hooked on this. I've done that. I used to be proud of it. Now I can't stand me. My own people don't like me. Unless I have money. And they're hanging around me. You listen. He lives. He has been resurrected. And his spirit can live in you. The decision is yours. I don't know what you struggle with. But he is greater. And he is alive. And you can pray to him because he is not an idol. He is not fashioned by the hands of men. He's not some teacher of the past that's dead. He's the Son of God. And he lives. And you can pray to him because he can hear. And he's alive. That means he can act. He can show up. He has all authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. He took the keys. Amen. He took the keys. I'll try it again. He took the keys. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand up. Stand up, bow your head. Close your eyes for a moment. And you're thinking, whoa, this is weird. No, I'm just telling you, I'm going to offer you privacy, people privacy, in a crowd like this. I'm going to offer you privacy. You're here. You say, I've never put faith in Jesus. I've never asked him into my life. Oh, or maybe you did at one time and, well, the thorns of this life choked out your faith, choked out your faithfulness. But you're here today. And you say, I want the spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of, I want His Spirit in me. I don't want to miss out. If He can quicken me, yeah, for eternity, that sounds really great, but I don't plan on going quite yet, and I'm facing a lot of troubles. And I need His Spirit to quicken me, because I've been trying to do this on my own ability and inabilities. And it only gets me so far, and it just seems to get me sometimes in more trouble, or I keep bumping into the boundaries of what I can do. It's so frustrating. Hey, Jesus took it all. And His Spirit will quicken you. He will give you wisdom that you don't have. He gives me wisdom I do not have. He will give you strength that you do not have. He will sustain you for the day. He will sustain you for the trial. He will shine in the darkness. You might feel lost, but He knows right where you are. And He knows right where He wants to bring you. And He knows how to bring you out. You don't have to bring yourself out. You just got to follow Him. Let His Spirit quicken you. Because if He doesn't return soon, like in our lifetime, and you don't fall over dead today, you're going to still have a bunch of life in front of you, this life in front of you, and it's going to have trials and tribulations and testings and all of that. You wait, you single people. You might get married. And then you're going to have kids. And you're going to live in a community. And somebody's going to be mean to your kids. And people are going to be mean to you. And then you're going to have all these responsibilities, all this stuff going on. And then, you know, you got to pay for everything. At least still you do. Am I going to make it through all that? It's overwhelming. Yes. But He's faithful. I can tell you that. I'm old. He's been seeing me through. And there's been some hard stuff. Circumstances and some difficult stuff right in here inside me. He's faithful. You need His Spirit to come into your life. You've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You've never said, Jesus, I will follow You. I'm going to need Your help, but I will follow You. Or you did, but it just got choked out, and you're here, and you're saying, I want to be in a right relationship with Him. I want to be back. I want to hear the words from Him like He spoke to Thomas. Stop disbelieving and believe. If you're in this place and that's you, you shoot your hand up. I want to pray for you. You shoot your hand. Yeah. Shoot it up. Put your hand up. Don't be shy. I don't care if you're here all the time. Put it up. Let's not play religion today. Let's be real before Him. Thanks for your honesty. Thanks for your courage. You can put your hands down. So I'm going to pray for you. But I want you to pray right now yourself. You talk to Him. Say, Jesus, I need forgiveness of my sin. I need You in my life. I want to follow You. You put it in your own words. Put Your Spirit, ask Him, put Your Spirit in me to help get me through this life, this tough stuff. Quicken me. Help me when I need it. Help me to follow You. You put it in Your own words. Father, You have seen these hands. More importantly, You see right into their heart. Lord, it's such a beautiful thing when You look right into us. So cleanse them from their past. Change their nature. Give them a new nature. Give them the nature of Jesus. Give them your spirit, Lord. Let your spirit be upon them, but come into them to quicken them. Oh, and that this decision, this act of faith, will be a foundation that will not be shaken by circumstance or by disappointment or by struggle. For you call us to have faith until the end. That's going out like a hero. Help us. Help them. Go out like a hero when it's time. Jesus, thanks for hearing my prayer for them. Now fill them. Fill them. Fill them with your spirit. And let their life change. Help them to go through it, that they're born again. And help us as the church to keep living a transformed life, to bring you glory and for the benefit of others, that they get to see you. They get to see you. Like, see you living in us, through us. May that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.